The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we are live today bringing you something that's really appropriate to the season, something that, you know, we all want to make sure that we're in really great shape for the summer and the spring coming up, our golfers and our tennis players, but just those of us who are around and doing things and putting up with things that limit our life. And so what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about neck, arm, shoulder pain, and, you know, the things that make you go ouch and don't allow you to have the enjoyment, the fun that you would like to have. I have a guest on the program today that many of you have heard over the years, and there's nothing more than admiration than I have for this doctor. He's probably one of the best when it comes to this particular subject. And, you know, we're going to get into it a little bit. We're going to give you some clues. But who am I talking about? The professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. Welcome, my friend. Good to see
you. Good morning, Tom. Always glad to be with you.
This is a program that not only our listeners can get a lot of, but I always seek you out because I'm always beating myself up and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. And you're my go-to when it comes to anything that has to do with pain patterns within the body. But this particularly, you know, we're getting guys in now, you know, that we're getting less restrictions in COVID and everybody wants to go outside and everybody wants to start doing their things. But they're saying, I can't do it because my arm is killing me and it's keeping me up all night and they're on meds and so forth. But this is a problem that is resolvable. Let's get into it a little bit because, you know, we want our listeners to enjoy the many months that are coming ahead of us. I was going to ask you what are the triggering mechanisms, but let's start with the fact that how many people really are putting up with, and I'll use that word, putting up with, you know, arm pain and hand pain and shoulder pain and so forth.
Well, I think in general, we're just conditioned to think that pain is a natural process and that we should have it ongoingly. So, you know, there's a lot of people walking around with pain throughout their body that don't really do much about it because they assume that it's normal. Their friends have it. The TV tells us it's normal. And we just take our Advil and so on and so forth. So until it gets to a certain level, a lot of people just push through.
You know, it's unfortunate that everybody has to deal with a modicum of pain because the body wasn't designed to do that. But particularly in this situation, you know, people go to pick something out of the shelf, if you will, or they go to push a lawnmower, or they're, you know, they want to pick something up, but they can't because that pain is so present, so significant that, you know, my life is gone. The only worst thing that I can think of is somebody not being able to stand and move and walk. But let's talk about, you know, the triggering mechanisms of this and the preponderance of the incidence of this type of condition. You know, is it something that's limited to a certain sector of the population? Is this widespread? And, you know, let's get into what causes it.
Well, unfortunately, you know, what I've seen the last couple of years, and I think you'll probably agree, is I'm seeing a lot more people come into my practice complaining of, let's say, elbow pain, not because they're active, but because they're on their computer more, doing Zoom meetings like we're doing right now, or just conducting day-to-day business. So they're always holding on to their mouse and their right hand. Well, that causes a lot of contracture of the muscles in the forearm, which ultimately attach to their elbow. So now all of a sudden they get tennis elbow, but yet they haven't picked up a tennis racket, let alone have they been very active to begin with.
You know, that triggers another thought process in the same situation. There's a diagnosis out there that we call tech neck. And it's, you know, technology is causing, as you said, in the wrist and the arm, but it can go the other way as well. The neck, shoulder, arm from that area down. We know that the nerves that come from the neck control, you know, the arm and the fingers and the upper chest and the upper back area. let's walk our audience through it a little bit and how that really takes place, so they understand what has taken place and why all of a sudden, you know, they're rubbing their arm, they're trying to put emollients on it, they're taking their Advil or whatever it is, and, you know, they're still present with us. It never goes away.
Well, you know, I think what you're basically referencing to is just the loss of normal anatomical integrity, meaning, you know, our body is designed to be upright. So when we lose that ability to be upright because we're sitting at a desk like I'm doing right now, then my shoulders roll forward and then my head follows. So my head becomes too anterior, goes too far forward. Well, that causes me to lose the normal subtle curve in my neck. It causes me to put more pressure and load on the discs in my neck. And ultimately, because those nerves are right there, those nerves can be gently irritated. So what we will often see is a person will start with some periodic neck pain that becomes more frequent. Now we get the neck pain and, you know what, I got a little tingling in my pinky, or I got a little toothache type pain in my forearm. So as we spend more and more time seated, the situation becomes more complex.
Doc, you know, people come in and they say, you know, I'm losing my strength in my hand. And, you know, you open up their hand and you say, okay, grab my wrist, and you pull your wrist away and they have nothing to hold it with. And you begin to examine them and you trace it back. You have them turn their head one way or the other, and all of a sudden that strength comes back. What types of, you know, things can initiate that? We know that, you know, the postural position that you took, you just described. But how about minor traumas? What kind of injury could take place that people kind of suck it up, I'll use that term, and, you know, just deal with it, but all of a sudden they notice that their hands and their arms and their shoulders aren't working, but particularly that strength, that ability of holding a coffee cup, their coffee cup is shaking, or they go to sign a check or a document of some sort, and they suddenly realize that their handwriting has changed dramatically. Can that all be part of it, and what's the triggers?
You know, absolutely. And one of the things that you look for at this time of year, you know, people take a slip and fall. You know, I almost wiped out a couple times, you know, cleaning the old car off. And if we slip and we fall, a lot of times we land on our butt. So we just kind of isolate it to maybe we got a sore hip. But very often we'll get a little bit of a whiplash. In other words, the head kind of snaps back and forward, maybe not enough to cause pain, but certainly enough to cause the muscles in our neck to become tighter. Well, nerves pass through those muscles, and those muscles attach to those vertebrae. So as they become tighter, then it often will impact the nerve, and the end product can be the person feels just some weakness in their hand, but doesn't really have a lot of pain anywhere.
So we can end up with loss of strength, and we think it could be attributed to so many different things. But the commonality is that there's been a minor injury, there's been offsetting of the muscle strength, and the body's just not working the way it's supposed to. And the manifestation over time then kind of, if you will, crawls up the arm into the shoulder, but it can go both ways. You know, let's talk about trauma, because you brought up a little bit of slip and fall and the head snaps back a little bit and people kind of shrug it off as it's no big deal. You know, I didn't get really hurt, or somebody just gets a rear end collision at 5 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour. And, you know, they may or may not be sore or stiff afterwards. Sometimes, yeah. So it's just muscular soreness. They see their normal doc and this is no big deal. It'll go away, but it doesn't. And the neck and shoulder might go away because do they adapt to it? Do they compensate for it? But all of a sudden they notice that their arm, something's wrong. It's not, you know, it's not normal. So I know that I asked you several questions in that, but let's get into that just a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of things that cause pain in the body. So first of all, when you look at the location of the pain, it gives you a little indication of where it might be coming from. Unfortunately, like we talked about before, is those nerves that communicate with everything from the tip of your fingers all the way up to the shoulder begin at the neck. So we can get pain that's actually referring from the neck, but involves no neck pain. Conversely, we can get compression of those nerves as they pass down through the arm, as they can get compressed in the shoulder, in the bicep, in the forearm, and in the wrist as well. So, you know, you have to kind of go through these areas segmentally to figure out where we're getting that irritation.
So we're talking about basically four different areas of the body, from the neck to the fingers. We're talking about the neck and the vertebrae, the bones of the neck. that house the nerves that go into the arm and the chest and the fingers and so forth. We're talking about the shoulder itself and entrapment there. We're talking about the elbow as it passes down. And then we go to the wrist, and the wrist has eight little bones in there that allow us to turn around, and then the fingers and so forth. Is it difficult to distinguish, you know, between the where of this thing, or, you know, are there clues that, you know, set it up pretty straightforward?
Well, it certainly helps when we can reproduce the pain. That gives us an indication where it's coming from. But in some cases, we can't, and the person can't tell you what makes it better or worse. So in those situations, then I start to think, maybe is there a referral? Is the pain coming from somewhere we haven't thought about? Is there some sort of organ involvement? Don't forget that those nerves that communicate with the arms also communicate with organs. So, you know, there's people who are walking around that have unstable, let's say, heart conditions, and they get off again, on again arm pain, and they don't think much of it, but they probably should.
You know, I want to get into that, into the second part of the program and the distribution of it, the distinguishing factors of pain patterns that show up like that. And obviously, you know, anybody that gets pain in the arm and the hand, and it's achy and it's deep and so forth, they said, oh my God, my heart's a problem. Maybe, and it may not be. But at the end of the day, this is something that it can be straight neuromuscular. It can be a visceral distribution, but not only the heart, it could be other things as well. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. My guest today is Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. We're talking about arm pain and the manifestations, the things that can come about. He will be your host, your presenter, this coming Wednesday evening, February the 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Rizal Center for Healing. We encourage you to join us and learn from somebody who, in my opinion, is top of the feed chain when it comes to these types of things. Get it before there's a major problem, whether it's something that you have to do surgically, something that, you know, you're taking medications and have been, which are breaking down your system. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But this Wednesday, all you got to do is go to our website, rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And scroll down. You'll find it there. Click the registration button, and you'll have a seat that'll be reserved for you. And then additionally, simply call 703-698-7117, that's 703-698-7117, and register for the class. And I promise you, you will have more data, more information, more immediately applicable information than you thought possible. But these things are resolvable. The trick is to make sure that you identify it. Dr. Browning, when we talk about neck and arm and shoulder and hand and wrist pain, is it, in our world, is it very easily to distinguish whether it's coming from a structural problem or if it's coming from a visceral problem? Again, we'll talk about the intimacies of that later on in the program.
You know, sometimes it can be quite complex. You know, definitely we look for patterns. Can you make the pain better or worse? Typically, if you can, then I don't think as much about a visceral problem. If it's always just there and doesn't necessarily get worse, then I start thinking, maybe is this person's shoulder blade or shoulder problem, maybe a gallstone that they don't have or that they have, you know, those types of patterns.
So a gallstone, a gallbladder problem can refer pain into the shoulder and cause problems there.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's incredible. Most people wouldn't even begin to think of that, and most physicians have no, you know, I'll say bandwidth or appreciation, you know, for those things that take place. You know, it obviously we all worry about a visceral presentation, but there are certain characteristics, as we know. So we'll get into that very significantly, and I know you will this Wednesday evening when you go over everything, but we'll talk about it as the program goes through. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, my guest in studio today via Zoom, as we always do now, which is very lovely. I think that's one of the benefits of the spinoff, is Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor, somebody who I have tremendous admiration for. We're coming up to that break. Don't go away. We have so much more to present on this topic and get you out on that golf course and tennis court quickly. We'll be right back after some important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon in the Washington metropolitan area. My guest today, the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about things that make you go ouch in your neck and your shoulder and your arm and your hand and your fingers, that arm pain that just doesn't go away. And there's so many differentiations with it, whether it's structural problems because of bad posture. We talked a little bit about tech neck and, you know, your devices that can cause it, your postural patterns, not holding your shoulders back, injuries, you know, that are kind of insignificant, meaning that, you know, you just got a little bit of a rear end, 5-10 mile an hour, but over a period of time, now something's happening, but you don't connect the two. Anyway, welcome back, Dr. Harlan, and let's get into this a little bit more. You know, when it comes to this type of condition, you know, we have to differentiate a lot of different things. And whether it's an injury pattern, it's a postural pattern, whether it's a visceral condition and so forth, is the history important? Or can they just show up anyway and you really just have to kind of dive into it and ferret out what's in front of you?
No, you know, the history is probably 80% of the diagnosis. If you actually take the time to sit with the person, talk with them and, you know, figure out, you know, how long has this been going on and what's provocative and what's palliative, almost always they can give you a pretty good differential diagnosis, which means it helps you narrow down what you think it is. So at that point, your orthopedic tests or your neurological tests or your kinesiological tests will refine it down even more. And then we might want to add on to that, you know, special testing, x-rays, MRIs, laboratory testing. And then at that point, we should be pretty close to coming up with a definitive diagnosis in which to, you know, be actionable on.
You know, it's interesting that you say that the history is 80% of the diagnosis. And in today's world, patients will complain that they go to their traditional doc and they're in and out and the doc really doesn't ask them any questions. They prescribe medication based on symptom processes. But what I'm hearing from you is if you take the time and really ask the right questions and dig into the history of how it's manifested over time, when did it first really happen? When was the very first time? That can give you a specific target and now you can actually fix something instead of putting the symptoms out. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. And one of the, you know, the classic ones would be, you know, when you talk to a patient, especially someone maybe who's a little bit older, comorbidities can feed into this. So diabetes being a classic example, you know, long-term uncontrolled blood sugar will often gunk up the nerves and cause neuropathies. Well, we can get neuropathies outside of the foot. You know, we typically will think of diabetic neuropathy as it applies to the foot, but we can get it in other parts of the body. So if you don't take the time to ask the person about the generalized health, you might be missing a factor that can be contributing to their problem that actually brings you to their office.
Or medications that they're taking as well.
Absolutely. So statin drugs, the classic one. I had a patient yesterday. She's been having calf issues. And, you know, intuitively, this lady's smart. She's actually a retired scientist. So she's like, you know what? I think it might be my statin drugs I'm taking. I'm like, you know, it very well could be. You might want to talk to whoever prescribed those to you about what's going on.
Yeah, one of the, and most people aren't even aware of it. First of all, if you're an older person and they've got you on statin, the literature is very specific. It says most people who are older than on statins don't need them. And, you know, and that's a whole topic for a different program. You know, now just don't go out and stop your statins, everybody. I mean, the whole idea is that there are side effects of these things. And with statins, it's pain. It's muscular pain. It's deep. It's ridiculous. And, you know, we see that on a regular basis. But I'm glad you brought that up because that's important.
You know, and I would add to that. So when a person has a generalized complaint of maybe cramping or aching, then I'm definitely going to look deeper into their medication. And a lot of times the person's on, you know, 5 or 6 different medications that might be prescribed from 3 different doctors. And sometimes they're not on the same page. And that's why I always tell my patients to find a pharmacist that you like and who's sharp, because a lot of times they'll catch these interactions and they'll say, hey, I want you to know that you're taking these 2 different medications and typically we see some problems with these. So you might want to go talk with your doctor. And the problem may be what's, you know, the symptom that they're coming to my office with.
you know, there's so many times these medications, they exaggerate the side effects of the other other medication, and I know that's what you're alluding to. At the end of the day, you also have medications that strip out nutrient bases like B12 and so forth. Any of the protein pump inhibitors, the things that doctors prescribe for GERD, your minerals, but particularly B12 and folate, which is going to make fascia aberrant in the body. So there's so many different pieces of the puzzle. And unfortunately, because the traditional community is in a hurry, they don't take the time to really understand it. Most of them don't, unfortunately. And I agree with you. Get yourself a really good pharmacist, somebody who gets the chemistry, who understands it, and that can work cooperatively with your doctor. We're coming up with a break. My guest today is Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor. We're talking about arm pain, shoulder, arm, and finger pain. We're going to talk about the visceral components now, the heart and things that are related to it, when we come back from this break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We're back. We have a very special program, one that actually is near and dear to my heart because I'm always beating myself up. And after 45 years of treating patients, that's called postural disruption. And I've paid the price of it. If I don't stay in shape and do things properly, that neck, shoulder, arm, hand problem that we've been talking about really comes up and bites me. Dr. Browning, welcome back. Let's get into that. I mean, you're my go-to. When I'm hurting, I see you, and you put me back together, and you yell at me, and you tell me that I'm doing things that are, you know, the wrong way. And you said, you know, after all these years, don't you know better? And I'm just like any other patient in the world. I know better and probably worse because I do know better. But I, you know, try to do the best I can, but I applaud you because you always get me out of trouble. Let's get, you know, we talked about the neurological, neuromuscular problems of arm pain in the first part of the program. I want to get into what we slightly touched upon, the visceral problems, the heart, the referral pain from the gallbladder, the liver, and so forth, and other things that can cause that. Let's start it out with first, you know, with when somebody shows up with arm pain and hand pain and they don't know where it's coming from, how much of it percentage-wise would you say is really structural and what part of it is visceral?
Oh, God. You know, I would say probably good 95% of the people are truly structural, but, you know, once or twice a year I'll have a person come in and things just don't jive and you know, I ship them out to the ER because I just don't like what they're saying. And the problem is they've been fighting their arm pain and maybe they got a little numbness in their jaw for, you know, on and off for weeks. So they think it can't be something really bad. But, you know, once in a while that person comes in who can, you know, has a 98% blockage in an artery in their heart and can go about their daily business pretty well. But the symptoms are there that say otherwise.
Yeah, until they can't, and then that LAD takes them out.
Correct.
That's the problem. The fortunate thing that, particularly with new patients into our practice, excuse me, we're very careful. We do a lot of different things that other physicians don't do. We do postural blood pressures. We take blood pressures in a sitting, lying, standing position, which can give us clues. The differentiation of one side of the body, blood pressure to the other side of the body, also gives you a clue. Pulse ox, the saturation of oxygen into the tissue can be another clue. Those things add up. But when a patient comes in, let's talk about the warning signs, if you will. Patient has arm pain and they've had it intermittently off and on. What are some of the distinguishing factors that would say this isn't a structural problem? This is something else.
If it gets worse on exertion, like going up and down stairs would be a warning sign for me. If the person also has issues with lying down, not so much that it makes their arm pain worse, but they also have difficulty breathing lying down, or maybe they develop a cough when they lie down. That to me says that we have a, you know, cardiovascular issue possibly. For the people who have a gallbladder underlying problem or a pancreas, you know, eating fatty foods or eating in general will make it worse. So, you know, we look at things outside of just movement and position.
With a cardiovascular presentation, Everybody thinks is, you know, the arm is going to ache and there's going to be pain down the inside of the arm into the little finger. pretty typical, you know, a medical pathway. And what they don't understand, the reason it goes down, there's a couple reasons. One, that's an acupuncture channel for the heart. But a lot of times a patient will have arm pain and the symptoms associated with that when the diaphragm, that big muscle that cuts us in half, isn't moving the way it's supposed to. And that can be aberrant for a lot of reasons, including people don't breathe properly. How often is that attributable to what we're talking about?
Yeah, so what you're referring to is that muscle of respiration called the diaphragm. And like you said, it separates the abdominal cavity from the chest cavity, and its job is to change the pressure in our lungs to bring oxygen in and to expel it. Well, that diaphragm is really hardwired into both our cervical spine and into our thoracic spine. So it'll crosstalk and it'll communicate with those nerves as well. So when the diaphragm is restricted, maybe because there's a previous injury, I see it when a person has really tight hip flexors because they sit all the time and it pulls on the diaphragm, then the person might present not so much with a breathing problem, but with just a little bit of achiness in the arm in general.
You know, interestingly, it's about a dozen years ago, I was preparing a lecture for a nutrition consult presentation on GERD patterns and so forth. And I started doing, you know, some really heavy look at what that diaphragm does with the stomach and how it presses up through the hiatus, the hole in the diaphragm, and how people get in trouble. But what I had forgotten about, and, you know, we learned so much over a period of time, was the intimacy of the neurology that you're talking about now, the nerves that go to the diaphragm and how it can affect the other systems, whether it's the liver, the gallbladder, but particularly the heart. The wrapper around the heart, the pericardium, is part of the pumping mechanism, the heart, but it attaches to the diaphragm. And, you know, we go along our way, and I'd forgotten about that. And but also the nerve that we think goes to the diaphragm, but also goes to the pericardium, the phrenic nerve, the mid-cervical area. And I sat there and I said, oh, wow, that could be why people have chest pain and pressure, you know, angina type of patterns, and also pain into the arms because of that. And, you know, also the cranial nerve, the vagus nerve, which particularly the ventral vagus, which, you know, controls the visceral components of the body. I sat there and I said, hey, listen, silly boy, you know, that's how all this mechanism works. So the intriguing pattern of how the body is wired, but going back to cardiovascular. So my question becomes this, because it can be a cardiovascular presentation, is it really cardiovascular?
That's the million-dollar question. But I'd like to add a little bit to what we were just talking about to answer that question. What you're referring to is what we call the viscerosomatic reflex. In other words, when we have a problem with our viscera, that's our organs, our stomach, our lungs, our diaphragm, it's how it manifests and expresses itself through our somatic system. That's our musculoskeletal system. The real interesting thing about our viscera is it doesn't have a lot of nerves for pain. Its really only response is when we diminish blood supply to it and we put a lot of pressure, either we compress it or extend it. So a great example of that would be if a person has a lot of abdominal gas, the reason we get pain is because we're stretching out the intestine. So the only way that those organs really communicate is either through too much pressure, be it extension or compression, or not enough oxygen. So we can deprive those organs of those sensations, and we might not even know that we have a problem there. So to get back to your question, it becomes very difficult at times to really definitively you know, pin it on the viscera. And we see this all the time with people who bounce around between going to a cardiologist and then they go to a pulmonologist because one guy says, no, I think it's the heart, go see the lung guy. And the lung guy says, no, I don't think it's the lung, go back and see the heart guy. And then the person goes back and forth because their lab tests are relatively fine.
Yeah, and they're forgetting the basic neuromechanics of those systems and how they express themselves. And as you said, the viscera, any organ system, can't feel pain. It's the referred pain into the body patterns that causes it, but it doesn't have to be a pathological situation. As we talked about, it could be just a misfiring and a maladaptation because of that. This Wednesday evening, the 23rd of February, Dr. Harlan Browning, the professor, will be your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're just off the National Capital Beltway, actually really close to the Beltway, probably a half a mile. We're easy to find, and you should be able to make it without any problem whatsoever. The weather, as far as night and day, is getting better, and days are longer. So join us, and I promise you, you'll be able to get answers to questions that you may have that you couldn't get anyplace else. Dr. Browning, in my opinion, is truly one of the best intellectually when it comes to diagnostic patterns. So join us. All you have to do is go to our website, go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Or simply call the office at 703-698-7117 and tell our staff you'd like to be there and we'll reserve a seat for you. And as always, our practice is taking every precaution. We have HEPA filters all over the place. You're not going to have any problems in this practice. I promise you that. No big deal. Join us and you'll get answers that nobody's ever given you before. Use this man's brain for your edification. And, you know, I promise you it's going to be interesting. Let's talk a little bit more about, we talked about the mechanics of the heart, how it goes into the arm, and it may or may not be a problem. We talked a little bit earlier about plaquing. Somebody could end up with 98% plaquing with no symptoms, and all of a sudden it's too late, boom, they're done. When you examine somebody that comes in and they have an arm presentation of some sort, in your mind, you say there's suspicions that take place that, you know, kind of set up the flags that say, this isn't right. And you send them out and it doesn't happen that often. But is there a time when people say, well, I had an injury pattern, I know I hurt myself, but there's an overlay, there's something more to that presentation. How do you distinguish between the two? Okay.
Well, you can. And I think what becomes difficult for the clinician to differentiate when it is previous soft tissue injuries. It would be awesome if everything showed up on an x-ray. It would be awesome if everything showed up on an MRI, but it just doesn't. So you have to investigate the quality of the soft tissue, meaning is the muscle, the bicep, that's the front part of our arm on one side, is the tone of that muscle completely different than the tone of the muscle on the other side? Well, if it is, then I start to think, well, is there a dysfunction somewhere in that muscle that's causing the problem? And is it not showing up on that MRI that we got of the elbow? A lot of times that's what happens.
You know, and you get joint spaces that swell. The other day I was in an exam with one of our docs, and they asked me to pop my head in because there was a problem with this arm and shoulder and chest presentation, and it was showing some weakness. We, again, going back to what you said in the first part of the program, there are muscles that relate to organ systems. And when they show up in some cases, particularly the one that's right behind the shoulder blade, we call it the subscapularis muscle, that's always a finger pointer to the heart. And when that shows up, it gives you, a moment to pause. But this guy had come up with shoulder pain and arm pain in a distribution that looked mechanical. And it only had happened about within the last 6-7 months. But in conversation, found out that, in fact, that he had had the COVID injections, the vaccines, which we know to cause pericarditis, an inflammation, and myocarditis, an inflammatory reaction of the heart muscle and of the covering of the heart, the pericardium. And it wasn't until I asked him the question, because he otherwise was fit and everything looked pretty well. How much of that are we going to see? And that's the question. Not have we seen, are seeing, but do you think that may present itself? And I know it's a best guess, over a period of time, knowing what we know about it.
I think it needs to be in consideration. We're not 100% sure of all the side effects at this point. So moving forward, I think the data will start to bear out this information more and more. So, it's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I brought it up simply for the pointing a finger at history. And it's very important that we understand as doctors, regardless if it's I don't feel good presentation, or I'm hurting presentation, or my hands throbbing presentation, that we're able to distinguish what's going on. But the only way to do that, going back to your original comment in the first part of the program, is 80% of your diagnosis is based on historical data if you ask the right questions. And here's this gentleman, I'm looking at him and I'm trying to figure out, there's something wrong here that's not presenting itself. So I started going back. I said, just, you know, out of curiosity, have you had COVID? Did you get Delta? Did you have Omicron? Did you have any of those things because of what was going on? Because the guy was on no medications and generally, except for that, was okay. But he's starting to develop a little sluggishness in a lot of our examination procedures. But that's why I brought that up. It's possible. We got a couple minutes left, and just let's go to the hand. Let's go to that forearm and wrist. How much of that is, you know, going back to our original technology aberration? Do you normally see?
Well, you know, the one good thing is I think the days of carpal tunnel syndrome are coming to an end because people don't type nonstop anymore. You know, whatever the software we're using is, we click on a box, we type some text in there, then we click on something else. So I definitely see less true carpal tunnel issues, but you know, conversely, I'm seeing a lot more elbow problems, be it a tennis elbow, which is on the outside of the elbow, or a golfer's elbow on the inside, because again, we're holding on to that mouse even when we don't use it. And I do it all the time too. I just have my fingers lightly around the mouse, just knowing that I'm going to move it in the next 5 seconds or 5 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, I could sit here and talk to you about things like this all day long, because it's always so much fun going back and forth with you on the things that we see that sometimes other people don't see. But we're coming up to a break, and we have much more information. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. My guest today, the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning, be your host, your presenter, this coming Wednesday, the 23rd of the month, at the Rozell Center on this topic. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages, people who bring you this program. Right back.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at high noon. And we're going to be here continually because our new Washington Commander football team is going to our sister station on AM 630, and which is all sports. And so we're going to be here uninterrupted. You'll be able to get the best of the best on an ongoing basis, and you won't have to follow us all over the place to find it. We'd like to extend our appreciation to all of you, because we know that our audience is large. And, you know, I also want you to understand that you can go to the website. You go to rozellcare.com to register for Dr. Browning's presentation this Wednesday, or simply go to drtomrozell.com, which is my teaching platform and the radio platform as well. And there's a retail section there on things that many of our sponsors have put up, and we'd like to acknowledge them and to make sure that you're aware that they're there to serve you as well. Dr. Browning, welcome back. You got an amazing presentation coming up this week, because it covers so many different facets, from visceral conditions to biomechanics and the differentiations between the two of them. And, you know, if there's any docs out there that like to learn more, listen, I can't encourage you more than come and listen to Dr. Browning and bend his ear afterwards. Ask him questions. I think you're going to be amazed at his knowledge base and the things that he can help differentiate. What are you going to cover this week?
Well, you know me well. I like to really dive into the anatomy aspect. Once you understand design, it's not that difficult to reverse engineer it to figure out where the problem is coming from. So we'll definitely talk a lot about the anatomy and physiology. We'll talk about movement patterns. We'll talk about good quality movement patterns and poor movement patterns. I see more and more people present with what we call overuse injuries. In other words, they take the tissue beyond its capacity because they move poorly. We'll look at some of the visceral aspects. And then obviously we're going to talk about conservative ways to treat this. That's what we're about. We're about resolving problems, correcting them without having to take ongoingly medications or over-the-counter stuff, and certainly we want to avoid surgery.
You know, what a great opportunity to find out whether or not that pain that you've been having, that arm pain, that hand pain, is really angina or it could be something else. You know, think about it. Was it ever proven to you that you had a heart problem? Was it ever proven to you that you had another visceral problem that was causing that? But they said, well, let's try this medication to see if it works. Well, a lot of medications dumb things down, but they're really from other aspects. That's our bailiwick. Area of expertise. And come in and check it out. And we work very well with, you know, being able to take your data, your information, and saying, you know, this might be something else. Talk to your pharmacist. This might be something else. Go back to your doc. Or listen, we're going to get this fixed for you, and this is straight up. There's none other that's better at it than Dr. Harlan Browning, and we'd love to have you at our center. We're very proud of it. I think those of you who are patients know that it's really first rate, and those of you who've never been there before, join us. Find out about it. You know, ask us the questions on this or any other subject that you may have. This is something that I think that could be very beneficial for so many of us. You know, Doc, you know, I appreciate you more than I can tell you. This, you know, you're the guy that can, you know, really zero in on things. You understand the diagnostics probably better than most ever will, and you continue upgrading the data and information. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being part of who we are.
Well, we have a good time sharing thoughts and, you know, and talking about all these subjects. It's an ongoing learning process. That's why it's called being in practice, because we are actually practicing.
That's exactly right. The only thing that I'm jealous of is that you get to go skiing all the time. And, you know, I got to get my butt back there, but we won't talk about that process on the show. We're coming up to a break, and, you know, we'll be here next week, and we continue to do this program on an ongoing basis, bringing you more data, more information, for one reason and one reason only. Simply this: we love you all. See you next week. Bye.